Imagine this, you're walking down the road with Jesus, and a group of people are walking down the road with Jesus, and they're having a discussion, you know, and it's an interesting discussion, and what they're really talking about, and is who's going to be the greatest. It's who's going to be the greatest. No, I am the greatest. Imagine that conversation going on. Imagine you sitting around hearing a group of men talk about that. I'm the greatest. A group of ladies in the kitchen. I'm the greatest cook. I'm the greatest. Yes, it's me. It's all me. They're having this discussion. And here's the very interesting thing about that discussion that Jesus is having with them. He doesn't rebuke them for wanting to be great. He just tells them how they can be great. You see, Jesus doesn't, I mean, God's okay with us having ambition. He just don't want us to have the wrong ambition. Just don't want us to have the wrong ambition. And today, just very briefly, I'm going to talk to you about building a great church. And what does a great church look like? What does a great church look like? First, I want to tell you a short story about a gentleman in Africa, a very poverty-stricken part of Africa, and people were dying of starvation on a continual basis. I mean, just thousands and thousands dying of starvation. And so there was a very wealthy man that had an idea that he was going to help them because the land was fertile, very fertile, and they could grow very good crops there. They just didn't have the tools and everything to do that, to be able to feed the people that were dying. And so a very wealthy man decided that he wanted to help them. And so what did he do? He purchased everything that they needed. He purchased the tractors. He purchased the equipment. For four different men, and he trained them how to farm and to prepare the fields and to plant the seed and then to have that rich harvest come forth. And so as he did this, I mean, certainly these men learned, and this man invested millions of dollars in that region. And wouldn't you know, here about 2 years later, I mean, the crops were so fertile, people were eating well. I mean, it was just incredible to see how nourished they were when they'd been malnourished, and now people were living, they were becoming vibrant, they were becoming active in the communities, and things are just beginning to change because of this one man who decided to invest in that region there with everything that he had to help them overcome. And then all of a sudden, something happened. All the farmers, there were four of them, they all had a different brand of tractor. One had a John Deere, one had a Ford tractor, one had an International, one had a Kubota. And what did they do? They started arguing about who had the best tractor. You know, and one thing led to another. I mean, they were just insistent. No, we got the right tractor. No. And the other one, oh, no, we got the best tractor. I mean, listen, that John Deere, I mean, that is the tractor of all tractors, my friend. And that's, I mean, there's no better than a John Deere. But then the guy that had the Ford tractor, I mean, he's like, well, come on, man, my Ford, you know. Some of you say fix or repair daily, but no, this thing's fast. This thing is fastest on race day is what it is. I'm telling you, this Ford is fastest on race day, my friend, and all. And so this is the best tractor, but that Kubota guy says, you guys are just, you're not even in the same league with who I am. And the International guy, man, he was just going on. And the International guy, he was so proud of his tractor, he bought caps and T-shirts for everybody and with International on them, you know, and stuff. But before you know it, they begin to argue so much about the brand of tractor that they forgot the purpose of the tractor. And what it was for. And they begin to sabotage one another's tractor because they thought theirs was the best and that they were right. And before you know it, the people sank back into poverty because the brand of tractor became more important than the purpose of the tractor. Talking about building a great church. And that's a lot of what's happened in America. We've become more possessed and concerned about our brand of church than we are the purpose of the church. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I heard somebody at home say, hey, amen, louder than y'all are saying it. We've become more concerned about the brand of church than we are the purpose of the church. Thank you, John. How do you build a great church? Just three things real quick. It's really simple. Look at your neighbor and say, it's really simple. It's really simple. How do you build a great church? Number one, you need a great commitment to the great commandment if you're going to build a great church. You need a great commitment to the great commandment if you're going to build a great church. That's what it's all about. I mean, there's a guy asked Jesus, said, man, what is the most important? All the laws, what's the most important? And Jesus speaks up and said, I'm going to settle it for you. I'm just going to make it really simple for you. I'm going to make it really simple for you, Jesus says. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 36 to 39, it says like this, teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The simplicity of Christianity and following Christ right there. If you want to build a great church, you need a commitment to the great commandment. And that great commandment is to love God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. And doesn't stop there, my friend. And love your neighbor as yourself. Can I ask a favor of you? Can I ask a favor of you? Everybody look up here for a minute. I need to ask you a big favor, okay? Is it okay? Ask your neighbor. Is it okay if you ask a favor, all right? I'm just going to ask you a favor real quick. Stop telling people God loves them and then you treat them like the devil. Please stop telling people God loves them and then you act like you hate them. Well, I wonder if he preached like this if we were doing two services, you know. And just he got us all together. And the Bible says love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. I think we need a love revival in America. We need a real love revival in America and around the world. A love revival. Wow. Man, if you're going to be a great church, our lives must be centered around God's love for us and our love for God. I do what I do because I love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I love you. I believe we need that revival. 1 John 4:11 and 12 says, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. How is his love brought to full expression? When we love one another. That's how his love is brought to full expression in us. When we love one another. Have you ever tried to love the unlovable? Man. Have you ever tried to love those that are so difficult to love? True love is tested on those folks like Tyler Thomason and things like that, you know. I just slipped that in. But Montana asked me to do that, but she's married to me, poor guy. You ever try to love those who are so unlovable? And I'm often reminded of the scripture when I think about loving others that are difficult to love. That while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Christ died for me with no guarantee that I would love him back. Wow. And you want the full expression of God's love in your life, you love those who are, there's no guarantee that will love you back. If we're really honest, there are times we do things for people really expecting something back in return, you know. We're all kind of built that way, you know. If I pat you on the back, there's sometimes I want you to pat me on the back, you know. And if I provide a meal for you at my house, well, you know, maybe it's because I want a meal from you at your house. I don't know. And it could be that way. It could be my motivation. I don't know. Depends on how good you cook. But it just could be. I don't know. But how about that? Providing a meal for someone that you know will never be able to provide a meal for you. last Saturday on our prayer walk, and God knows my heart in saying these things. I'm your pastor to help you. And I parked my car. I parked my pickup in the Burger King parking lot across from, I think, what's that? Union Square Credit Union, the premier credit union in town. And I'm sorry. That's bad, Kenneth. Bad. Stop that, you know. Just messing with it. Bad, Kenneth. Oh, stop it, Pastor. Come on, man. You got to. I need to take that communion now. Oh, man. Sometimes I love me so much. And that's just funny right there, man. But I parked in the Burger King parking lot, you know, and I parked there, I just felt like, you know, if I'm using their parking lot, I need to buy their food. And so when we got through with the prayer walk, I bought a meal, and I left it with the intentions of a homeless person down there. And I just drove around until the right person, and then I just hear, and they were so just overwhelmed that they didn't have to ask for it. He just gave it. You ought to do that. You ought to do that. Did I say that loud enough? You ought to do that. Just to bless people, change your life. Change your life. It will. It will. It'll change your life. We need a commitment. If we're going to build a great church, a great commitment to the great commandment. I love God with everything within me. And Belinda, I love his people with everything within me as well. Man. But then, if we're going to build a great church, you need a great commitment to the Great Commission. A great commitment to the Great Commission. Well, Mark 16 and 15, Jesus said, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in his sight. Should have got a louder amen than that. They are all precious in his sight. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus is talking, familiar passage of scripture to many of us. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, why should we go? Therefore, why is it therefore? Because he's given all authority. He's been given all authority. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Wow, isn't it something? Jesus' assumption is that we're going to have new disciples. Go and teach these new disciples. New. Everybody say new. Wow. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And here's what I love about that last part that communicates to me, and it would imply that until the end of the age is here, that we need a great commitment to the Great Commission of going and making disciples of all nations, starting right here in our own Jerusalem in Judea. Is that be our motivation to go and make disciples? The only marching orders Jesus gave the church was to go into all the world and make disciples. It's the only marching orders he ever gave the church. Now he said, now you go wait and tarry until you be endued with power on high. But listen, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit today, we are a spirit-filled church around here, but listen, if you're going to be talking in tongues, you need to be telling people about Jesus too. That's why he empowered you to go and to reach others. Amen. Wow. Am I smiling enough? Oh, should I write what I put in my notes? Should I read it? What I put in my notes? What do you let's? Anybody that says I shouldn't, raise your hand. Okay, this you voted for it. Here it goes. Let me say this: people who don't want their church to grow are telling the world you can go to hell. Oh, well, Pastor, I just like that little small church where I know everybody. Well, let me ask you something. You're going to know everybody in heaven? Well, I think the Bible says I need to live as a citizen of heaven right here. It's in the book. It's in the Bible. I'm just reading the Bible. That's all. I pray there will be a great revival of the Great Commission in our hearts today. Our mission here at Encounter Church, of course, we know our vision, encounter God, experience family, enlarge the kingdom. Our mission is for people to believe in Jesus and belong to family and become a follower of Jesus and build the kingdom of God here on this earth. There it is, my friends. Believe, belong, become, and build. And then the last thing, if we're going to build a great church, and this wrecked my world. Last Saturday, my world was just wrecked. He said, if we're going to build a great church, we need a great commitment to our great children. If we're going to build a great church, we need a great commitment to our great children. Last Saturday on the prayer walk, there were three teams, and we all went to separate locations to pray. Linda Bober had put it on the map. And then after we prayed for, it was over an hour that we went walking and praying in the kind of the downtown area. We met back up at a park downtown, and we sat there, and where's Kim? I saw Kim. Yeah, there, Kim Hansen was there with us. And we met back up, and we all began to share what God spoke to us on the walk, and every one of us somehow, even though we were in different locations, ended up at the Wichita Falls Independent School District administrative building downtown. And I'd shared a video on Facebook being there. But I didn't know the other two teams had ended up there as well. And all at different times ended up there and praying over that. And in that moment in the park, I just felt like there was this visitation from God. Is that he's calling Encounter Church to be put more focus on reaching the children of this generation. It just captured my heart. And then the very next day, I saw on the news, and this took place on the Friday before, it said this. I'm looking around, no kids here. Huh? New York City drag marchers chant, "We're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children." There they are. "We're here, we're queer, and we're coming for your children." These pictures are why I didn't want the kids in here. Yeah, it's kind of graphic, isn't it? You can take them down now. I think they've seen it. Thank you, Montana. "We're here, we're queer, and we're coming for your children." Drag queens are not coming for our children. Satan is coming for our children. Okay? So we're called to love. called to love. They're not coming. Satan's coming for our children, my friend. And what are we going to do as a church? What are we going to do as a church? We need to make a great commitment to our great children. I don't know what all this means, but I know God's putting something together. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he is. And I'm asking you to join me. I look across this room and I look at the age groups in this room. I'm asking you to join me to reach our children, to make a difference in our children. I'm asking you to not make church about you, but about reaching our kids. About reaching our kids. I want to ask you a question. Could somebody, Sandra, could you go ahead and go get the kids in the that are here today, and Pastor Kayla and Justin, as they're coming in? I can't tell you how my heart has been so challenged this week about reaching the children, about making a difference in the lives of the children. And you'll be hearing about it in the coming weeks. We're going to have prayer teams that are going around to all the schools here in Wichita Falls and praying over the schools before school starts. Satan is coming after our children. And I think he's had enough. Is Pastor Justin here as well? Okay, why don't you come? Y'all come this way. Our kids that are here. Oh, I didn't see that one down there. Oh, it's okay. I want to ask you a question. What are you willing to do to reach our kids? What are you willing to do to reach our kids? What are you willing to do to reach our children? Jolene is closest to me. Won't you come here for a second, Jolene? If you don't mind, stand right here. Jolene's standing out in the road. Come here, baby. Yeah, there you go. Come here, sugar. Come here, Camden. Yeah. Jolene is standing out in the road. Jolene's about to be a youth. She's standing out in the road. And you see a car coming fast down the road toward her. And she's not even aware that it's there. I want to ask you what you're going to do. Are you going to try and stop the car? Or are you going to try and get her out of the road? Simplicity of it. Because I want you to know, cars are going to always be coming down the road. Did you know evil is going to be in our world until Jesus comes back? And we're spending more time trying to stop evil and letting our kids keep playing in the road. And not putting any effort toward reaching our kids and getting them out of the road. Now, do we need to stand and pray against things? Yes, absolutely we do. But my friend, we do not need to leave the kids standing in the road while we're over here praying against evil, because evil's going to be here until Jesus comes back. It's not going to change, friend. The Bible says it's even going to get worse. It's okay, Noah. You can come back over here, Jolene. But listen, my friend. Stacy, won't you come? Listen, my friends. I don't know where it's all going. I don't know what all he's going to be doing. But all I know of, I've already said yes to him. God, you've put something in my heart to get our kids. We've got to get our kids out of the street, friends. We've got to get them out of the street. I know it's evil out there, but we're wasting all of our energy and our attention trying to stop evil that's not going to stop until Jesus comes back. And put none on them. It's awful. I know it is. It's bad. When I read that, we're coming for your kids, and then I knew that's Satan coming for your kids. Coming for your kids. I'm coming for your kids. I'm coming for your kids. I've got to get them out of the street. I've got to get them out of the street. I'm not talking, you know, can we protect them? I'm not talking about protecting. I'm talking about winning them for Christ and making them world changers for Jesus Christ. He's coming for our children. He's coming for our youth. If you want to build a great church, you've got to be able to reach them and do whatever it takes. No more, this is the way we did it 20 years ago. If it ain't working, stop. If it's not working, stop. Find something that works. My goodness. That reaches them. For so long, and it can't be this way. They're out in the street. Come on, get out of the street. Come on, get out of the street. Stop, please. Come on, get out of the street. No, we've got to go to the street, and we've got to grab a hold of them. Get out of there. And put energy and effort into reaching them. To reaching them. Kids can go back to your parents and thank you. We're going to let them share communion with us. I've just got Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 8 says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Holy Spirit corrected me this last week. Because I've said this so many times, and He corrected me when I was preparing for this message. And if you've ever made this statement, you let the Holy Spirit correct you and not me, okay? But He corrected me for saying this. Oh, I'm not called to work with children. Yes, you are. Every one of us is called to work with children. Every one of us, grandkids, kids, every one of us, right here, I just read it. Every one of us is called to work with children. We may not be back there in the children's church, but every one of us is called to work with children. Every one of us. And man, we've got to reach our kids. Again, I don't know how, but I know He's moving me that way. And I'm asking you to come along with me. I'm asking you to join. We got to get them out of the street, friends. We got to get them out of the street. We can't just holler at them. We can't just holler at evil and hope it stops. Look, I'm going to say something that sounds very, very negative, okay? But it's the truth. When you look at statistics, when it comes to our children and youth, we're losing the battle. Only 4%, they say, be born again of our youth and children. 4%. Wow. When it comes to our children and our youth, we're losing the battle. I'm not speaking specifically our church. I'm talking Christianity worldwide. We're losing the battle. And we've got to arise in this moment. We've got to get in the street and reach our kids. Got to reach our kids. That means I can't make it about me. I've got to make it about them. Well, we're talking about building a great church, and Jesus said this. Remember, I opened this message with the disciples talking about who was going to be the greatest, right? Well, in Mark chapter 9, 33 through 37, after they arrived at Capernaum and settled in the house, Jesus asked His disciples, "What were you discussing out on the road?" But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12 disciples over to Him and said, Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. Then look what he says. Then he put a little child among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, anyone who welcomes a little child like this one on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also my Father who sent me. Won't you stand? The whole purpose of today's message is to get a seed in your heart about our children and about our youth. Would you look around? Look around. I don't know if there's anybody in the cafe or not. Is there? I want you to look around at here. Look at the number of adults here and the ratio between adults and children in this house. And all I want to know is who's willing to lay down their own plans and desires to go after our children and our youth. Thank you for that one lifting your hand back there. I didn't ask for it. Thank you so much. Who's willing to lay down their own desires and say, God, whatever it takes, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Who's willing? Who's willing? Yeah, I'm going to hit you right at home. Who's willing to lay down some more money on the table? Because it's going to take, it takes money. It just does. I'd rather take 100 kids with me to heaven than $100,000 that ain't going with me anyway. It doesn't seem like I'm going to get to... We need to be good stewards, don't get me wrong. And you are givers. It's a very giving church. But one day we're going to stand before him, and I don't think he's going to say, boy, you had that money in the savings account. That's great. Yep, I might take a withdrawal on it and put me some more gold on the streets. I don't know. I don't think he's going to say that. But my friends, I'm asking you to begin this journey with me. It's a beginning journey. It's a beginning journey. I don't know where it's going yet. I've been, in my heart, I've crossed the point of no return. And I'm going to lay down my life to reach the kids and the youth. I'm going to lay it down to reach them. And I'm asking you to join me in that journey. Help me get them out of the street. Help me get them out of the street. Help me get them out of the street. Pastor, I've got kids and grandkids that are away from the Lord. I want you to raise your hand. Kids and grandkids, raise them high. I've got kids. Look at this. Look around you. I've got kids and grandkids that are away from the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, you saw every hand that was lifted. Father, we want to get out in the street, and we want to rescue those, God. Father, the enemy he's just shown himself, and he said, I'm coming after your children. Well, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you can't have them. You just can't have them. We're going to get out in the street, and we're going to reach the children and the youth. God, we ask for your plan, your strategy, your purpose. Let's share the communion together, church, before we leave today. Why don't you come to the table that's in front of your section and take the communion back with you? Thank you, Tracy.
In your freedom. Your name. Wow. in your freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Last Saturday at the park, after we met, those of us that were there, after we met, I left with such a conviction in my heart that I'd been given, and I totally unexpected for me. It blew me away that I'd been given a mandate that if I would ignore it, you know, the influence of what God has called me to do would be no more. That's how strong it was in my heart. That the influence of what God would call me to, if I ignored it, would be no more. Just have another church on the corner. Yeah. And Jesus said this, familiar scripture, Matthew 16 and 18, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Well, it was Jesus who said, you know, need a commitment to the great commandment, the great commission. And then he said, also the children. When you embrace the children, you embrace me. Let's build a great church together. Let's do it together. Let's do it together. Let's pray and seek God together. Get our kids out of the street. And raise them up as mighty warriors in the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for giving your life. This message today, I really has struck my heart. I pray that your Holy Spirit will water the seed that's been planted on the hearts of these good folks here today. Thank you for Encounter Church and what you're doing, Lord. Father, watch over, protect those that have been traveling, Father, in this holiday season. Lord, vacationing, 4th of July. And Father, I hear your call. I hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. Father, there's a call for us to not make it about us. Make it about the kids. Make it about the youth. Make it about this younger generation. And Father, we need a great commitment to our great children. That next generation, Father. I don't know what it looks like, God. I'll be honest. But I've heard your call. I want to seek you, God, and asking this church family to seek you with me, God. And it's all because of what Christ has done for us. He's still building his church. And I thank you for his broken body and what it represents. Father, we partake of this bread today, remembering just what Jesus has done for us and what that body represents. Let's share the bread together. Father, I thank you that there's still power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, this blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins, that was shed for the forgiveness of sins for everyone. And those that put their faith in Christ, Lord, forgiveness is there. Father, use us to carry this good news, to make disciples of all the nations, Father. Right, beginning right here in Wichita Falls, Lord. Thank you for this great church. We're here because of what this cup represents, the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's still power in the blood today. And God, I just apply the blood to our kids right now in Jesus' name, to our children in the name of Jesus, Lord. I apply the blood of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for what this blood represents again in Jesus' name. Let's share the cup together. Father, again, you're a great God. Father, I just want to mention one more time that everyone that lifted their hands said they got grandkids and kids that are away from Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit right now will begin to draw them. Begin to draw them. Begin to work on their heart. Begin to let them know just how much Jesus loves them. And Father, I pray this all in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Praise God.